Facebook community. Welcome to Face to Face Therapy Podcast. We are here today with our wonderful co-host, Jason Took, who You know, Jason hasn't been around for a while, but then we have like a super beautiful, strong guest, and Jason shows up. Jason's in town all of a sudden. So that brings us to our guest, Miss Brooke Walker.
Hello.
Thank you for being here with us. To do the Facebook Live, which is something new we're just doing this month for mental health awareness. So we will be talking about all the things with Miss Brooke Walker. So Brooke, can you tell us a little bit about yourself?
Yes. My name is Brooke Walker. I am an IFBB professional, women's physique competitor. So basically, just to sum it up, I'm a bodybuilder. So I'm just in a different branch. My division is in a different branch.
I actually kind of wanted to explain that to some people because even I don't understand. I'm trying to learn it.
Yes.
But it's new. There's different categories.
Absolutely.
And levels.
Mm-hmm. So it's easier just to tell somebody that you're a bodybuilder, right?
Okay.
I think that's just kind of easier when people don't really necessarily understand the dynamics of the sport, but there are different divisions.
Okay.
And basically what classifies each division is the amount of muscle that you have, the amount of conditioning, so on, so forth.
I'm just going to share this onto your page.
Go right ahead. So basically I'm in what's called the women's physique division, and that's a step below women's bodybuilding. So our posing is a little bit different. We are expected to be a little bit less muscular, something that they call vascular dryness. We're not supposed to be as vascular, as dry as, say, a women's bodybuilder. We're still judged based off of symmetry, things like that. But something that the women's physique division is we're still judged based off of femininity. So you're supposed to have muscle development, but the judges still want you to remain feminine and have a nice flow, something that's aesthetically pleasing.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
That helps me understand it a little bit, I think.
Who are the judges? Are they other bodybuilders too? Or are they?
Typically, most of the judges all have some sort of bodybuilding background. So there is a whole list and criteria that you have to achieve in order to be an IFBB judge. Mm-hmm. However, most of them have some sort of competitive background. Some of them are retired pros. Some of them are current pros. Some of them just have been a competitor all of their life or have been affiliated in the bodybuilding community, and they have just developed and kind of transitioned into the judging aspect of it.
Okay.
But for the most part, everybody that is on the panel has some sort of background in the bodybuilding world.
So we had some questions come in, and also Jason had some questions. Do you want to start with one of those?
Yeah, please. Okay. How did you get started working out?
So that's a question that I get quite often.
Yeah.
And truly, I have been working out since I was 12 years old. So whenever I was in middle school at that point, I was in PE and I was a little thing, you know, I was tiny. And my PE instructor, Coach Anderson, had recognized kind of how strong I was for my size. And he had reached out to our high school powerlifting coach, Coach Elder. And he had spoken to me about powerlifting.
Really? Yeah, at age 11?
Yeah, I was 12. So it
12,
was,
sorry. 12.
It was really, really.
Wow. I can't even imagine you as a powerlifter.
Yeah, it was truly
so
a life-changing moment. So,
yeah.
And I did. I started lifting truly when I was 12 years old. So I can remember like it was yesterday going into the weight room in our high school and doing max lifts on a barbell bench press, a barbell squat, and we did power cleans then.
Can you remember how much you lifted back
then?
Oh
my gosh. So my max was 55 pounds on bench press.
Wow.
You know, I was 12 years old, my one rep max. I was only
That's
able to
actually
do it
a lot.
And then I was able to squat 110 pounds. It's funny that you remember things like that, but and I was able to power clean 75 pounds. And that's one rep. That's one time. That was it, you know.
Just for some comparison, I think right now I squat close to that. I'm 45. But anyway, that's another story. So that's super impressive for a little tiny.
I was little.
12-year-old.
I was very, very small. But for whatever reason, I just loved it. You know, it was really thrilling for me to see my body change and see my strength increase, you know. So I was always super competitive And I played sports. I ran track. I was a cheerleader. I played basketball and I loved it. And I just always wanted more. But powerlifting, the strength aspect, strength and power is something that I've always loved. And I remember picking up Flex magazines as a kid, muscular development, and just looking at all the bodybuilders there and loved it. You know, it just, it's something that truly, truly, truly wanted to be a part of for my entire life. And since 12, I have been lifting and exercising since then.
So I've actually seen a picture with you and Arnold Schwarzenegger.
Yes.
Was he one of your sort of inspirations?
Oh my gosh. I think Arnold is anybody's inspiration.
Okay.
Right?
Yeah.
You know, in so many different aspects, not even in the bodybuilding world, but he's obviously huge in the bodybuilding community. Sure. He is an icon, a legend. So absolutely. He has always been one of my role models. And it's kind of cool to say, but he's like, you know, how people see stars and celebrities. I've seen Arnold so many different times.
Really?
Like, I could touch him, you know, and at the Arnold Sports Festival in 2017, when I competed there, it's really, really awesome to see somebody that is just a big deal. Arnold is a huge, huge name. I mean, you don't even have to just know in the bodybuilding world. Who doesn't know who he is, you know? But he is very, very active in the community.
I actually saw him taking pictures of you
yeah.
in that photo, which I think is pretty cool. If Arnold Schwarzenegger is taking pictures of you.
Yeah, it was awesome. So, like I said, he's so active. Competitors are backstage and he is there to communicate with all of these athletes and ask how you're doing. How do you feel? Or you look great. So he truly genuinely cares. But whenever I was on stage, I get off stage and my phone is like blowing up. I have no idea what's going on, you know, and people are like, oh my God, you're on Arnold's Instagram. You're on a Snapchat. And I'm like,
oh, really?
Yeah. I have no idea what was happening, you know, and then I start to see these photos, you know, and so he's like filming me in the background. So it was really, really cool.
That's pretty awesome.
We have one of my clients has printed out a great photo of it and we have it hung up at the gym in 365 Fitness. So it's, I love walking by that because that's an accomplishment, you know. He probably has no idea who I am, and that's fine.
I don't
You know, it's just super, super cool that
I think
even have
everyone in the bodybuilding world, the fitness world, knows who Brooke Walker is. definitely state.
Yes, yeah,
for sure.
Yeah, I'd say definitely on
and
the state level
and
for sure.
National.
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah. I would say it's pretty neat going from show to show and people knowing who I am.
Yeah.
Still to this day, I'm like, yeah, I'm just Brooke Walker. You know what I mean? I don't think anything of it.
Yeah.
But that is truly an honor, you know, so that makes me feel like I've accomplished something.
Yeah.
I haven't accomplished everything I want to, but that's definitely a step in the right direction.
So I'm sorry. I got kind of off on that.
No worries.
That happens with me. Sorry, guys.
So you said you've been steady on since 12. Have you had any injuries or anything?
Gosh, knock on
hiatus.
Knock on something.
Yeah.
So luckily I've never had any major injury. I've had tons of wear and tear kind of things happen, but nothing major that has been so substantial where I've had to have surgery, broken a bone, torn anything. That has been a true blessing to me. Now, things that I have had issues with, I've had some issues with my back. I have thrown out my back a couple of times and that's just terrible. Wish that upon nobody.
Were you doing that lifting?
Actually, before, yes. And then, so I was warming up, squatting actually, and I threw out my back and I was just warming up.
Yeah.
So I just happened to probably drop my chest down and that's all it took, you know? And then another time I was standing up from the ground and then it just took me down. Yeah. You know,
but
so
it wasn't
just
necessarily like you doing your power. And
no, it wasn't me lifting some sort of large amount of weight. Nothing like that happened. It was just some sort of kind of like freak accident, you know, but with that being said, the amount of weight that I'll lift from time to time isn't what is ideal. It's not considered health and wellness. So I am kind of pushing my body to the extreme. So with that, you want to do it as carefully as you can, but sometimes you're going to assume a risk that you're going to get hurt, you know? So it's just be mindful, be responsible, you know, don't get it under a weight that you shouldn't be doing. And if you're not able to maintain proper form, don't do it. And a lot of times that's what you see people doing. They kind of ego lift or get under a weight irresponsibly. And that's how they kind of hurt themselves, you know? And truly now I'm to the point in my training where I still lift heavy, but I've developed muscle mass at this point. So now I kind of just do enough to maintain it, get blood flow, especially if I'm prepping for a show. I will not go overboard on the weight.
So it's important to know your limits.
It is. It is. Just be responsible. That's truly all it takes. And at the end of the day, whenever you're in the gym, there's not one person that's worried about how much weight this person's lifting. And I think sometimes when you're getting under the bar, you're like, oh man, I'm going to lift this and this guy's going to see us, just chick's going to see it, whatever the case may be. And no one cares. Right. You know what I mean?
And then injuries happen.
And then injuries happen. Yeah. Or sometimes you're like, and there's times that this happens at the gym, I'm looking out of the corner of my eye, I'm like, they shouldn't be doing that. Oh my God, they shouldn't be doing that. You know what I mean? And then they go for it and they hurt themselves, you know?
Yeah, so because Brooke Walker in Conway, mm-hmm. in 365 Fitness, you're a trainer.
Yes.
So
yes,
you're
constantly
probably trying to keep people safe.
Yeah.
What you say?
Yes. Yes. So I'm going to say that, but
yeah,
there's people that I definitely feel comfortable approaching, you know, and saying, hey, this is how you do this properly. And for the most part, people are so receptive to that and they want to know, you know, because there's truly people in there that have no idea that they're lifting improperly and they want help. So if you see that, they're very receptive to that and very grateful that you've reached out to them to help them. Mm-hmm. Now there, you also have people on the other end of the spectrum that are like, you don't know what you're talking about. I'm going to lift this anyway. You know what I mean?
I can see somebody telling me that, but to tell Brooke Walker and look at her and say, you don't know what you're doing.
Hey,
you need to
surprised.
Rethink yourself. Like, for real.
There's the people with some egos, you know, but if that happens, I'm like, all right, have at it. You know, it's your body, not mine. So,
right.
But for the most part, I'll tell you, especially at 365 Fitness, everybody is really great there. It is like a family environment. So for the most part, if someone's going to correct you or if they're going to say, hey, you might need to drop the weight, everybody for the most part will be receptive to that and be like, ah, okay, you're right. Or here's the thing too. If you want to get under an amount of weight that, you know, you feel uncomfortable with, but you feel like you might be able to do it, just reach out for a spot or come ask somebody that knows what they're doing. And there's a lot of great people in there that do know what they're doing. So they'll be so glad to kind of help you out.
I can second that because I go to that gym now and I get that vibe there. And
yeah.
I've been in a lot of gyms. I wouldn't want to train there without you, to be honest. And I'll say you've never told me that I need to. I've never had that problem with you.
Yeah.
You always try to add more to me. I don't know what that's about, but it is what it is.
Yeah, we don't talk the weight with you. I'm sure we can't go up. I feel like we can. Sometimes it's a comfort thing. You know, like whenever I'm watching somebody, I'm like, you're doing that pretty easy and you're keeping warm. But it's comfort. You're like, I don't know if I can go up. But if I'm there to help you, I'm not going to let you
This
fall.
Is actually the favorite saying. And she'll say, how are you feeling? And I'll say, I'm dying.
I'm like, okay, what's that for?
You got something
so
else?
So y'all
Jason?
Are working out. Yeah. I mean, you've been at it since you were 12.
Yeah.
What would you say to our viewers out there, and myself included, to get them motivated to go work out?
I would say start small. Start small. Oftentimes people bite off more than they can chew and it sets them up for failure, you know, and I'm all for having these great goals, but start small. You don't have to be going to the gym 7 days a week. You know, you don't have to be 100% on your diet at first or 100% on your water intake or on your sleep. It's just a combination of those components that's going to set you up for success. So start small. If you can only fit in 3 days a week at the gym, start there. If 30 minutes is all you have, that's a good start. 30 minutes, three times a week, you know, then from there, you can kind of build, you'll kind of start to feel like, okay, that's becoming a routine. Mm-hmm. Your body just naturally, you're like, oh, I got to go to the gym today. Once you get to that point where you're not missing days, okay, then you can build on. Add a fourth day, add a fifth day, maybe go 45 minutes instead of 30 slowly. And then you can kind of focus on other things, slowly eliminating things out of your diet. If you're a soda drinker, start there, cut out your sodas, you know, then you can kind of build off of that. Are you a soda drinker?
I love it. I'm addicted.
That's really? What do you drink? I've never seen you drink a soda.
Well, like one or two a day. I mean, but that's still not good.
Yeah. Yeah.
I know you're a coffee drinker.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So start small.
So you could start small.
Yeah.
Usually what people truly do, it's like, okay, first of the year. The first of the year is a great example because it's the New Year's. Everybody has their New Year's resolutions. And I'm all for that. And especially when it comes to healthy lifestyle, I'm all for it. But everybody's like, no sodas. I'm going to eat 5 meals a day. I'm going to drink a gallon of water a day. I'm going to train 5 days a week. I'm going to do 5 days of cardio, an hour a day of cardio. And I'm like, That's great, but it's not realistic.
It's not sustainable.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And you could maybe do that for a few weeks, and then you're going to be like, I can't do this. Mm-hmm. Instead of just starting small scale for that first 4 week, 6 week time frame, what's wrong with doing 3 days a week of mm-hmm. working out? You know what I mean? And then build off of that.
You're putting yourself into a food prison. I've heard about this before. And right, if you say like, I won't eat ice cream or I won't eat whatever, then you're going to think about it nonstop until you do eat some of it.
Yes, exactly.
Mm-hmm. And then you probably binge it. Yes.
And then you're like, what have I done?
Yeah.
And then it's a slippery slope because say you do that, then you're like, well, I messed up today, so I might as well just keep going. And then it's like, oh, well, it's Friday. I might as well keep going Saturday, Sunday. I'll just start on Monday, you know? So it's a slippery slope. But I think mm-hmm. for the most part, we've all been there. I mean, I've been there. I've done that to myself, you know, mm-hmm. I'm like, oh, screw it. Messed up. I'm just going to go out with a bang and finish strong, you know?
So then going on with food and then talking about people starting small, what would you recommend for a lot of people just for a well-balanced diet?
That right there. Well-balanced diet is the key. I think a lot of times all of these trends kind of step forward, you know, keto, intermittent fasting, the grapefruit diet was one. Like, what is that? Years ago, there's an egg diet.
I think my parents did that.
Yes, the grapefruit diet, you know, and all of those things are just not realistic. You know, keto is huge right now. It's huge. And I'm not going to say that you won't see progress off of it. People do see progress off of those things. But in the long haul, you're probably going to fall back and, mm-hmm. you know, gain the weight that you lost or gain more weight, you know, instead of just sticking to one plan, general health and wellness. So it's okay to have brown sugar in your oatmeal. It's totally mm-hmm. okay. You know, it's okay to have fruit in your diet, things like that. It's just about how many your consumption of it. Are you eating 2 cups of oatmeal? Mm-hmm. Are you eating 4 tablespoons of peanut butter in your oatmeal? You know what I mean? Portion control, that sort of mm-hmm. thing. I'm not necessarily against keto. I'm also not necessarily against intermittent fasting. But what I tell people, because I have clients that do that, but what I tell them is it's not ideal long term. So just be mindful of that. So if mm-hmm. we're going to do it, you have to stay consistent with it. That's the number one ingredient. Stay mm-hmm. consistent. And then it's something that you can't do long term. If you're eating that amount of fat, for example, on the keto diet, it's not good on your heart. You know, so if you're doing keto nonstop mm-hmm. for years at a time, whether it's coming from good sources of fat or bad sources of fat, fat is fat. So it's going to be hard on your heart long term. So I typically just tell people the time is going to pass anyways. Don't necessarily look at it as a diet. Mm-hmm. You know, don't give yourself, I got to drop 10 pounds in 4 weeks or whatever the case is. Mm-hmm. Don't look at it like that. 4 weeks is going to pass no matter what. So mm-hmm. just think about it as a balanced diet. Get up in the morning, eat breakfast, right? 3 hours after that, get a small snack. You can do yogurt if you want. You mm-hmm. can do a banana and peanut butter, whatever the case is. 3 hours after that, get another meal, lean protein source, chicken, turkey, fish, something like that, the complex carbs, sweet potatoes. You can do red potatoes, brown rice, jasmine rice, some veggies. 3 hours after that, another snack. And then
this is one of my favorite things about her. She likes carbs.
Yes,
and
carbs.
And carbs are allowed. And
carbs are fuel.
She's actually been helping me implement that back into my diet,
which
has been really helpful.
Yes, and it's hard for some people. Typically, whenever I give somebody a nutrition plan from the beginning, it's a lot more food than they're used to. Mm-hmm. I will tell you, most people have this idea that they have to starve themselves. It's like, I don't know why I'm not losing any weight. I don't eat. I eat once a day, you know, but you got to speed up your metabolism. Chances are, if you're not eating frequently, your metabolism is probably pretty slow, you know? So you got to ramp it up. So in the morning, if you can wake up in about 30 minutes within waking, get your metabolism jump started, mm-hmm. eat some breakfast, even if it's small for you. So I'm a substance person. So I like my eggs, my egg whites, my oatmeal in the morning. I love that. Some people, it's just too much for them, you know? So if a protein shake or something small, like a yogurt, mm-hmm. a protein bar, if that's easier for you to get in the morning, do it. You know, within every 3 hours, so on and so forth, get those meals in. If you're not able to eat the whole meal, that's okay too. It's probably going to be pretty challenging for you if you've gone from not really eating to mm-hmm. eating smaller, frequent meals throughout mm-hmm. the day. You're eating a whole lot more. So don't finish the meal. It's okay to not finish it.
Oh, jump in on that because mm-hmm. that's good for your brain health.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
I know Sharon talked about that in one of our last lives when she works with the brain a lot. Lori Dather has talked about that a lot. And I run into that with a lot of my clients that even like they'll have a test, but they haven't eaten the whole day or had any sugars. And it's like your brain can't work without fuel.
Absolutely. Food is fuel.
Right.
Food is fuel.
Yeah.
I always use the same example for everybody. So your vehicle, if you don't put gas in your vehicle's not going to run.
Mm-hmm.
Your body is the same way. If you don't fuel your body properly, it's not going to run as efficiently.
Mm-hmm.
The best example I'll tell you too, is if you ever go to a bodybuilding show, you go into check-ins and these guys, girls and guys are so carb depleted. It's hilarious because they're walking around. Nobody knows what's going on. I mean, it's like in one ear, out the other. And that happens to me too. I'm like, I don't know what you just said. My brain's not functioning properly because I have no carbs, you know, have carb fog brain, you know.
It's true. And you don't want to be taking an exam or getting into an argument with your spouse when you're in that condition.
Yeah, absolutely.
You can't manage your emotions or anything else if you're not properly fueled, right? And hydrated.
Yep. Absolutely.
Yeah.
Food is fuel.
So for the majority of people, you would recommend 3 meals a day and snacks?
Yeah. I would usually say 3 meals a day and then 2 snacks in between those meals and lots of water. You know, obviously I'm a big advocate on water only, you know, but it's okay. You'll see some people put fruit in their water, fruit infused water. That's okay. That's completely fine. A lot of people will put like some branched chain amino acids in their water.
Oh,
that's okay too. If you want to use some of those like Dasani water drops, okay, whatever, that's okay too. You know, it's better than sodas and diet sodas. So if you're able to kind of eliminate those and replace them with water, that's obviously going to be your best option. You know, there's a reason why you'll die before dehydration, before starvation. So make sure you're fueling your body properly and hydrating yourself.
Yeah.
Okay. So we've got diet and exercise covered so far. Okay. So what would you say to a lot of people after working out for a while, how to get past a plateau?
You know, everybody hits those plateaus, you know, especially if you've been consistent, right? You're kind of doing, you're always going to train legs unless there's like some sort of injury that you have, right? You're always going to kind of train upper body because it's about balance. You should always train those muscle groups. Some people might not like to train legs or upper body or whatever the case may be, but you still need to train them. So, and you're always going to be kind of doing the same similar exercises, you know? So like I always use legs for an example, you're always probably going to be doing squats and lunges, leg press, and you will hit plateaus. But in order to kind of break through those plateaus, you can kind of do something to kind of stimulate that, whether you're kind of changing up your exercise routine. So say for instance, I'll typically start my workout with squats, right? That's the heaviest movement for me. So I'm fresh. Whereas if I start to kind of hit a plateau, I'll swap that and I'll put my heavy barbell squats at the very end of my workout. So I'm tricking my body.
Important. I do remember that reading about this a long time ago, which you really train me like this. It's always different because a lot of times people will ask me, what do you do when you train with Brooke? But like it's different every time.
Yeah.
And that's why the muscles have to be shocked. Oh, is that a good word?
Exactly. That's what you're doing.
Yeah.
You're basically putting your body into shock. Think about the first time you work out. You haven't been working out for a while. You go into the gym and it's like the next 2 to 3 days, you're like, I can't move.
Yeah.
You're stiff. You're sore. You know, same thing applies. So you just put your body in a shock. Your body's like, what the heck did you just do? We haven't done this. You know, well, then the same thing. You've been exercising, working out. So your body has been accustomed to it. It is used to it at that point.
Mm-hmm.
So it is important that you kind of shock the body and switch things up. It's not necessarily that you're like, oh, well, I'm not going to do squats. Still do your squats. Just kind of change them up into your routine or do some sort of different finisher. You know, we do like jump squats, things like that, like a burnout to really gas yourself out, literally to make sure that you can't do another rep.
I explained my last workout to them and I totally forgot the jump squats.
Yeah. See, there it is.
But you added that one in to switch it up.
Exactly. It's just something to kind of shock the body. And that is important, whether you're doing legs, upper body, whatever. It's all it is do your routines, just mix it up a little bit. Still train legs, but maybe change the way you train legs. Still train upper body, but change the way you train upper body.
Right. And I'm always pulling in the mental health stuff, but that's also what we have been talking a lot about lately, is it's very important for you to learn new things.
Absolutely.
And so your mind needs that too. Mm-hmm. Your mind gets tired of that routine of doing the same thing every time.
Absolutely. It gets boring.
Yeah.
It is redundant. You know, like I said, been doing squats since I was 12 years old. I do squats every time I train legs, you know what I mean? But so yes, in that aspect, it does get boring because you're doing the same exercises over and over and over again, just repetition, repetition, repetition. But that is what creates change. But it's very important whenever you're starting to see less results that you do change it up. Mm-hmm. Like I said, still do your squats, but change how you do them. Change where you put them into your routine. Or you can always change your workout split too. Sometimes people will do like a muscle group, say legs on Monday, chest on Tuesday, back on Wednesday. Well, you could change it, you know, change the way you do it. You know, if you want to do maybe like a full body workout, do Monday, Wednesday, Friday, full body, things like that. So you can kind of change your workout split as well to kind of shock your body.
Okay. So we've got diet exercise. Now we've broken through the plateau. What would you say to somebody that's maybe hit another plateau or something if they're considering steroids?
Okay. So steroids, obviously, in the fitness world is huge. Here's my thing. And obviously in the bodybuilding world, steroids are something that are, they just exist. They're there. It's something that I tell people not necessarily to embrace in the bodybuilding community, but just understand that if it's something that you don't want to do, that is great. Don't do it. But there's people that are going to be willing to do those things. You know what I mean? So don't get bent out of shape about somebody that's doing as some sort of performance enhancing drug and they're surpassing you. You know what I mean? Don't worry about that. All you can control is what you're doing. But with that being said, I'll tell you, I've seen people do amazing things and they are completely all natural. And here's the thing. Someone will look at them and say, there's no way they're all natural. And they are, you know, it's just, it's a part of the world. And I wish truly that it wasn't as big of a deal as it is, because here's the thing too. You see people, you see kids now, younger and younger kids. And I think a lot of times you see things like social media, they're seeing these fitness models, these fitness stars, these athletes, and they're like, oh, I want to look like that. Well, they're kids and they're willing, or they have somebody that's going to kind of lead them in the wrong direction. And they're really, they're willing to try these things at such a young age, you know? And that's truly, to me, is heartbreaking, because I would never sit there and recommend something like that to a kid, you know? But kids are willing to do it, you know, and that is unfortunate. You just need to make sure, I guess I'm pretty black and white when it comes to it too. If it's something that if it's the road you're going to walk down, make sure you have somebody that's going to guide you in the right direction. Go and seek medical advice first. I always tell people to go get blood work done. Here's the thing. There's men and women, especially when we get to a certain age, that naturally our bodies start to produce less testosterone.
And that's a huge thing, actually, that comes up a lot in therapy.
Yes, it is. And here's the thing. Hormones are huge. So if our hormones are out of whack, we're not going to feel very good. We're not going to feel good. We're not going to perform good. You're not going to be able to lose weight, things like that.
And it leads to other mental health things, like being irritable, not having energy. I mean, not to pick on men, but it tends to happen in men, I think, starting around 30s and up, that they can often sometimes really present with depression or anger issues. And that's why I always love to work closely with our doctors and go get their blood work done. And sometimes that's a big thing, you know?
Absolutely.
And then that helps then their wife understands, oh, there's a reason why we can take this, and a lot of times change our diet and exercise to help.
You always,
you can do that somewhat naturally. Yes,
absolutely.
Right?
Absolutely. There's all sorts of different things that you can do. And it's always good to start with everything that's in your control first. You always go that route.
Naturally.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah. Everything that's naturally in your control, start there. And a lot of doctors are going to tell you to do that anyway. Start with your diet, start with your exercise, start with sleep. People neglect sleep.
Oh, that's a huge thing.
Start there. So once you've kind of maxed out all of those options, go get your blood work done, see what your natural levels are, and then go from there. And like I said, it's always important. Steroids are not the answer to everything. And like I said, I think a lot of times it's just thrown in our faces, body image, things like that. People have body dysmorphia. I think that's huge. So I think people are willing to do.
Do you know what body dysmorphia is?
That's all. I know BDD, body dysmorphia disorder.
Yeah. It's a big deal. Yeah. And I think a lot of people are a little bit more adapt to do things that they shouldn't be doing, you know, because it's thrown in their face instead of kind of going, that's not the option. That's not the only choice that you have. You have a whole list of a lot of other things that you can do.
So for our listeners, the body dysmorphia is where you look a certain way, but in your mind, you see yourself a totally different way. And some we tend to think that this is girls with eating disorders, but that's not the case. It's men, women, everything is, you know, beautiful, fit people that see themselves as being grotesque or obese.
Yes.
And vice versa. I mean, it happens a lot.
It's very real.
Yeah.
Very much so.
And that is definitely something you want to seek mental health therapy for.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm.
So what about just mental health issues in the industry or working out?
I think it's very important. You know, I think regardless of whatever your goals are, whether it is just general health and wellness, if you are a strength athlete, if you are a powerlifter, bodybuilder, whatever the case may be, if you're a cheerleader, you know, it is so, so important for you because general health and wellness, I think, okay, let me backtrack. I think pills, medications, things like that are pushed onto people to help those things, aid those things. When a lot of times, oh my gosh, exercise, eating right, water intake, sleep, those are so good. Those are great sources of medicine. Mm-hmm. Movement is medicine. So I always, always, always tell people to go that route. I promise you, exercise is hard. It is. And especially when you're first starting, it is hard. You are sore. You're uncomfortable. But if you can kind of just get through that first 4 to 6 week timeframe where you're staying consistent, and then you start to see those changes, you not only look better, but you feel better. Mm-hmm. You're sleeping better. Your immune system is better. You know,
blood pressure is better. Yes, cholesterol is better.
Absolutely. There's a long list of things. So it's so, so gratifying to exercise because it's just a stress relief. Mm-hmm. I mean, it truly is.
It produces all those
happy hormones.
Yes. Endorphin. And there was a research study a while back that said 30 minutes of exercise a day equal taking an antidepressant a day. That's crazy. That's awesome. Crazy. Mm-hmm. And then when the same thing, there's tons of research about the diet too.
Yeah.
Taking out the processed food, eating natural, healthy stuff.
Oh, I totally believe it. I'll tell you, I get frustrated when I don't get my workouts in because that's my me time. That is my time where I can completely disconnect from the world and just focus on myself and my thoughts and be alone, you know? Mm-hmm. And it is,
it's meditative.
So it is absolutely, it's very, very therapeutic. And then you put that with food and what you're eating and you feel that much better. You know what I mean? Plus whenever you do kind of eat off plan, you feel miserable. You bloat, your body doesn't feel good. You're lethargic, fatigued, tired.
No, I think Lori, our nutritionist, said it takes about 2 weeks. Isn't that what she said? To like get your taste buds to change and to adapt.
1 month.
1 month.
Yeah.
Okay, 1 month. And she used the example of like, if you're used to eating like regular pasta, like half it and put, don't go, I'm only doing whole wheat or whatever it is. Half it. And you kind of, I'm doing that with you with my rice and my quinoa.
Yes.
I'm starting to put half rice in so I don't like have a problem like not eating.
And that's great advice. You could do that with like ground beef and ground turkey too.
Yes. That's a good one.
Yes. So you could do that. That is a
small
great,
steps.
Yes, small step. Exactly. Yeah. And that's what's going to create success though. Those small gradual steps, because at some point you're going to realize, hey, I didn't even realize that I'm not doing half and half anymore. Or hey, I didn't even realize that I didn't have a soda.
Yeah.
You don't even think about it at some point.
Someone I know, I won't say their name on the air, tricked their whole family like that.
Yes.
They started with the spaghetti and started taking out the unhealthy pasta. And months later, they didn't even know that they were eating the healthy pasta. Did you have something or any questions coming in?
I guess the only question I had was, how do you handle when someone comes in and they do have like a mental disorder where they, whether it's anxiety or even just bulimia or something like that? Like, do you see that or?
You see that often. I will be honest, most people have some sort of issue. you know. But that is really rewarding from my aspect, because I think we all suffer with some sort of issue. I mean, who doesn't?
Yeah.
We're all a little.
Brooke's my anxiety therapist.
But that's the thing. a lot of times how I was saying it's very therapeutic for people. It is so therapeutic for people to get in there in the gym. And this is amazing. And this happens literally probably on a daily basis with me. Someone comes in and they're like, I do not want to be here. I did not want to come today. I don't want to be here right now. Mm-hmm. And they just tell me how it is. I'm like, but you're here. That's the hardest thing. You're here. And there has never been a workout where someone's finished where they're like, I wish I wouldn't have done that. Never, ever, ever, ever. They are like, I'm so glad I did it. Now, it might've been hard. They might've thrown up, you know, but they're glad.
I don't know who would do that.
They're glad that they did it, you know? So like I said, it's very, very therapeutic for me.
I actually feel bad sometimes because I come to Brooke and I know she's like all happy and excited and motivating. And she'll say, you ready for me? And I'll say, no.
You know what? Though I'm used to it, because that's everybody. Yeah. Every person.
It happens to me.
They're like, no, I don't want to be
right now. Therapy-wise.
I'm like, all right. There has been training sessions where somebody has been just so angry to be there. And I'm like, she's not want me to talk. And they're like, no. All right, we'll sit here. I'm going to tell you what to do. And I'm just going to watch
you. Okay, so I've got a question. Yeah. How do you maintain this optimism?
I don't know. You know, I've always been a glass half full person.
Okay.
Always. So my childhood wasn't all the best. So I kind of came from a bad background, I guess. But for whatever reason, even as a kid, I never thought it was bad. You know, like I just was like, whatever, I'll get through it. Mm-hmm. And I've always used that mind frame, always. Mm-hmm. So I'm always like, it's okay. Everything's going to be okay. Everything will be fine. Tomorrow's a new day. And so I think that that's just something that's been so conditioned in my mind that I apply that with everything that I do, you know, and don't get me wrong. There's times where I'm less chipper than other days, you know, but I still am like, it's going to be okay. Mm-hmm. And that's how I tell everybody, because it is going to be okay. Mm-hmm. You know, I'm like, I know it sucks, but if we got to lighten the load, or if you got to take a longer break, that's okay. We're going to get through it, you know? And I've never had anybody walk out on me, you know, nobody has, no one has told me I'm quitting, I'm not doing this. I've had some people cry during training sessions on multiple occasions, you know, but they push through and they do it and they figure it out. And it is something that's just really gratifying for them, you know, because it's something that they overcome. It's an obstacle that they overcome because it's hard. It's not fun. You know, there's days where you just don't feel good. You know, you don't want to be there. That's the last thing you want to do. Or something is going on in your life that's not the best, you know? Mm-hmm. So for you to overcome that, and you might have somebody guiding you and helping you get through it, but you're the one that does it. Mm-hmm. You're the one that lifts that weight, or you're the one that finishes that diet, or you're the one that said no to whatever, the soda or the cake, you know, you did that. So it's 100% something that's in your control. And whenever you finish that journey, it's amazing. It's so gratifying because you did it. Nobody else did it. You did it.
So something I want to mention is Brooke was voted Faulkner County's best trainer last year. Mm-hmm. And we're so going to push that this year.
Yes.
Like, you got this, which I think is coming up soon. But I've been thinking about that a lot. And I know you've got the knowledge. I know you've got the experience. Mm-hmm. You've got the look.
Yeah. Yeah.
But I think it's your attitude that got you that. I don't know. What do you think?
I think a lot of people have told me that.
Yeah.
Even from a competitive standpoint, everybody's been like, do you always have a smile on your face?
Yeah.
You know, and I do. I just, I enjoy working with people. I think sometimes it's almost more rewarding for me than it is for my clients, because to me, my clients are very therapeutic for me, you know, to be involved in somebody's life and kind of hear their obstacles and the things that they're kind of going through and their circumstances. I'm like, man, why am I complaining about what I'm going through? Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? They're doing this and they don't even understand how inspirational they are to me, you know? So that in itself is huge. So I truly, truly do enjoy what I do. And so I think just my attitude has been something that's truly helped a lot of
and
people.
Compassion. Cause I've worked with a lot of different trainers through the military, outside of the military. And you're the only one that has ever asked me like how I'm feeling.
Yeah.
Or check in, send me a text.
Yeah.
How did you eat today? Or did you eat today?
Well, I do enjoy it.
And it's a good thing.
It is a good thing. And that I always want people to be happy, you know? And so there's been certain circumstances that you can't please everybody. And the times that I've like, you know, maybe had somebody upset with me or yeah. maybe someone thought that I didn't do what I should have done for them.
Yeah.
I do take that personal, you know, and I understand that it is a business.
Yeah.
That sucks. Yeah, you know, I don't want anybody to be like upset with me. It's hard. Yeah. It's hard. So I always want to try to go above and beyond for everybody, you know, and because I do truly care, I want people to be happy with my services, but I also want you to feel good, you know? So I do try to kind of take that approach. Obviously with COVID in 2020, that was an obstacle to kind of get over. And that was interesting for me being a trainer because we were literally shut down.
Yeah.
Just like that, you know? Yeah. So we got really, really creative and we did online classes, which was so weird for me. I've never done that approach before. So I was way outside of my comfort zone, but it worked, you know, we did outdoor classes, things like that. Obviously I would send at home workouts. Okay. The nice thing about COVID was everybody was literally going through the same thing. So it was a new experience for everybody. So it was a learning curve that we all had to kind of adjust and acclimate to. So I'm glad it's over. I'm glad we're open.
Yeah.
I'm more of like a one-on-one person. I like to work and I like to be right there with people. So I'm glad to have that style of training back, but it did benefit me now because I do have a whole list of online people that I do train. So
Okay.
It kind of gives you
a new skill set,
a new thing.
Yeah. That's awesome. And there's one more question. Sorry. If we've got time. Because we talk about this a lot, especially in therapy and just as women, probably guys too, not a stereotype, but like being self-conscious of our body.
Mm-hmm.
And you really put your body out there.
Oh gosh. Yes.
Right.
Yes.
And even with your body, do you get some negative
feedback? Yes, I do.
And how do you deal with that?
You know, there's been some times where I've lost it, you know, but for the most part, I get way more praise than I do criticism.
Mm-hmm.
But to some people, muscle on a woman is, it's not normal. It's not something that people see. They're not used to it. So it's different. So sometimes I try to take that approach. We're like, you don't really see somebody like me walking around all the time. So they don't know how to respond to it. They might respond in the wrong way. Like, probably could have kept that to yourself instead of saying it out loud or posting on a social media or whatever the case may be, because who doesn't see something that they don't necessarily agree with? We all do, you know, but I would never, ever intentionally go and hurt somebody's feelings about the way that they look, you know, we'll never do that, but people do it. I mean, I can tell you some crazy stories of people literally going out of their way to me in public to criticize me based off of how I look, you know, but to be honest, I'm like, well, you know what? I must be doing something right because I'm trying to look this way.
So what do you have any advice for the average mom bod going to the pool in the next couple of weeks, feeling insecure or afraid of some negativity like that?
You know what? I tell everybody, embrace your body. Love your body. Your body is yours. That is your body. That is your temple. Love it. Take care of it, nurture it, fuel it properly, do what you can with what you can in order to make yourself feel good. I think everybody's insecure. We all have our insecurities and we're all not always comfortable, you know, myself included. There's times where I am not happy with how I look, you know, but I always embrace it. That's something so important. If you love yourself and you embrace yourself and you were just confident, that's going to radiate to everybody. Confidence radiates. And here's my thing. And I don't care who you are. Whenever I see somebody that is confident, whether it's a girl or guy, and they just have that smile about them and that glow, that just makes me smile. And that brings me happiness, you know? So I think that's just important. Embrace yourself, love yourself, and be confident.
Yay. That's my little, I'm happy clap. The Bella gets annoyed at me. I'll do it because I can't. So any other questions for you, Jason?
I'm good.
Tess?
Cool.
Anything else you want listeners to know?
I'm a trainer at 365 Fitness. If you're interested, you can come look me up.
Yeah, definitely. I will say I train at 365 Fitness. I feel very comfortable there. Super professional trainers.
Yes.
I've been working out with Brooke since December.
Gosh, yeah, December. Yeah.
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 And I love it. And it's got my blood pressure down and cholesterol.
Yeah.
That's good. I'm still a work in progress. I still got another good 6 months to a year before y'all see me bikini modeling. Just kidding. Totally kidding. But we thank you so much
thank
for
you.
Being here with
thank
us
you.
And sharing about mental health awareness. Yes. And
one more thing. Just stay consistent. That's it.
Yes.
Whatever your goals are, stick with them.
Consistency
is the key ingredient.
Right.
If you mess up, you're going to mess up. So if you do mess up, it's okay. Just stick with it.
And
don't start all over on Monday.
Yeah.
Start the next day.
She had to say that in there for me. No, I'm just kidding. Because sometimes, but it's true.
It is true.
Life throws you curveballs or however you want to say it. Like with me, it was like sick a week,
yes,
kids sick a week,
absolutely.
All of that, but that's okay.
It is okay.
It happens to the best of us. Mm-hmm. I mean, it happens.
And
It's going to happen.
In your
yeah.
lifetime, there's going to be a lot
yeah.
of hurdles that you're going to have
right.
to overcome, obstacles,
yeah.
things like that. So the best thing you can do is just roll with them.
Yeah.
Roll with the punches. Do what you can with what you can. If you got a sick kid at home, it's okay. Do what you can.
Yeah.
Focus on your eating for that day. Make sure you get
right.
the water intake in.
Yep.
Have a walk, 30-minute walk, whatever you can do.
I love it.
Stay consistent. Consistency is the key ingredient, and that's usually where people fail is the lack of consistency.
Yeah. Okay. Thank you so much for being here. Thanks, listeners. Check us out. Subscribe to our podcast. This will in a day or two go to all of our Apple, Spotify, all that. Go follow at Brooke Walker.
At Walker Brooke.
At Walker Brooke.
I know,
okay.
I should switch
yeah,
up,
no,
yeah,
that's okay. And if you want to learn anything else about her, check out 365 Fitness, and we will see you soon. Happy Memorial Day weekend. Send me a DM.